Welcome. Good morning. I'm glad we can be here to gather together to worship our Savior and to fellowship with one another. We're looking forward to seeing what the weather has in store for us later this afternoon, but we're thankful for the opportunity to gather together this morning, and that the Lord has pushed that the snowstorm that's coming off so that way we can worship together. Welcome to any visitors that are here with us. We see some familiar faces from the camp staff and from previous summer staff, and we're glad that you guys are here with us as well. If you are a visitor, stop by our Connect table in the back, grab a mug, fill out the white card, and that'll be a good way for us to follow up with you and minister with you through that. Today, the schedule is going to be a little bit different with our community groups because of the storm. I want to get those in. So four different options. These are kicking off again this week, community groups as we go from there. So two groups, Ed's group and Ray and Joe's group, will be meeting right after the morning service and across the street in the community center. And someone's donated some food, so there will be lunch provided and have a chance to meet and discuss and enjoy that time of fellowship together, and then hopefully be able to get home before the storm hits. Our group will meet at our normal time at our house at 1 o'clock. Go ahead and grab your food, bring it in with you, or eat, and then come and join us at 1 o'clock. And then the virtual group will be meeting at their normal time at 4 o'clock. So if you want to be a part of any of those groups, make sure you check with the leaders or check with myself, and we'll get you those details. Again, this week's schedule is a little bit different in light of the storm that might be coming. We're excited about the ministry opportunities coming up this week through tomorrow. It's the start of the CDT training, and look forward to seeing who the Lord brings here to us. Again, if you're not a part of the CDT training, we recommend that for everyone, and come and just enjoy learning from God's Word and how it speaks to the issues of life. And if you cannot make it here and you want to audit some particular classes or some particular topics, you can see that online. Those will be live streamed. But if you are interested in taking the class in pursuit of certification, being here will be the best option with the discussion and other things that will be happening with CDT. If you have any other questions about that, see myself, Pastor, or Dave Beam, and he will be able to answer those questions for you. Wednesday night, we're looking forward to our Wednesday evening service and then also the kickoff of Kids Club. And so kids, come and join and invite your friends, and we'll look forward to having a time of ministry together with them. Other camp activities coming up, we're so thankful that they can get back to a normal schedule. So make sure you check the website, check with a camp staffer, and get signed up for those activities as well. With that, we'll go ahead and turn it over to Dave, and he'll help prepare our hearts for the Word as we sing praises to our Savior.
Good morning. I also have the prayer this morning, so I'd like to just begin with that this morning if we can, and just with all that's going on, just calm our hearts before the Lord and really get a vertical focus, because He's worthy of that. So let's just spend a moment of silence, and then I'll pray for us. Father, You indeed have been kind to us. You have been gracious. And for most, if not all in this room, You have done something amazing. You've taken sinful wretches like us, and You've forgiven us at the cost of Your Son's life. So we gather this morning to thank You for that, to worship You for that, to rejoice in that, to celebrate that. Father, we also gather as Your children to be disciplined, to listen and to hear from You. Not so that we can just be a little smarter, but Lord, so we can change and reflect Your Son in our lives. We realize this only comes from You as Your grace and Your Spirit, but it is Your desire and Your will. And when we pray in accordance with that will, You hear us and answer, and You do that amazing work in our midst. We pray for our pastor this morning as he brings us the Word of God, that You would help him speak clearly and directly, and as You would have him speak, But Father, that you would also speak and work in our hearts so that we might truly hear what you have for us and respond. Father, we have family members and we have church family members that are fearful and suffering right now with sickness and other issues. We put them into your hands. We cast those cares on you because you care for us. And we know that you're sufficient and you're kind and you're loving and you're gracious and you're merciful. And all those attributes give us great comfort because we know you're going to take good care of those that we pray for. Lord, we cast our own souls into your hands because as we really get honest, we see our weakness, our frailty, our shortcomings, our sin, our ugliness. And we thank you that we have a Savior and that we have a mediator, that we have a sacrifice that has been accepted. And we have the very righteousness, we have the very person of Christ in us. And we are in him, and that's our hope. Father, fill our singing and our worship and our praise this morning, our reflection of the reality of who we are in Christ, and may it be a sound that is pleasing in your sight and received. In Christ's name, amen. Please stand with me. We're going to start with an older hymn, Redeemed, How I Love to Proclaim It.
Redeemed, redeemed, redeemed. Last phrase, when the race
Father, we affirm these truths that we've sung. I pray that they would be true in my life, true in my brothers and sisters' life. I also pray for anyone that's here, Father, that could sing the words, but it's just not there. Whether it be a brother or sister that's struggling or someone who's never come to know you as Savior and Lord, I pray that as the Word of God has declared, Father, that the Spirit would do His work and touch each of us as you see fit in Christ's name. Amen. Well, our children can go to children's church that are kindergarten age and younger, and I just want to say you've done it again to me as I have the privilege to be up front here and listen to you sing. You thrill my soul to hear you talk about following Jesus, and what a joy to open up the words of our God as we have this time in our service. But to do that, open up the Scriptures with the people that love Jesus and want to follow Him, it means more than words can express. Several are visiting with us. We welcome you. We're so glad you're here. This is not a normal service for us. Think of this as like your Thanksgiving meal. I was telling the prayer partners earlier, this is a service I look forward to every year. It's like a special event. We are often going through a book and expository preaching. This sermon will not be like that. You often have an outline in front of you to follow along with. There's no outline to follow along. This is what we call our annual State of the Church Address. It's not a technical thing. It's a time to celebrate God and what He's been doing in our lives and what we're anticipating coming. And we do that by opening up the Scriptures and looking at a passage that helps us think about that. So I'm excited about this service, and may God be pleased to use it for His glory. How are things going as we head into 2022? That's a hard question to answer. We could answer it in a lot of ways. We could talk about COVID again. The world continues to be affected by this reality. Numbers spiking even again here in our county. As far as God's work in the world goes, we could talk about a recent email I received from Wycliffe missionary Andy Minch. By the way, Andy and Audrey's wife served with Bob and Shirley Littoral in Papua New Guinea. They were the Amanah people group right next to the Angor people group that our missionaries served in for all those years. And I was intrigued when he wrote, at the end of 2021, the complete Bible, all of God's Word, is available in 720 languages for 5.78 billion people. 79% of the world's population has access to all of God's Word. That's an incredible number. Some of us remember when it was a lot less than that. But think about the fact that 21% of the world doesn't have the Bible. Praise God, he says, 217 of Papua New Guinea's 840 languages have the New Testament published, with ongoing work in 134 languages. We could talk about what God's doing in terms of providing His Word for people groups around the world. But we want to zero the question in on this. How are things going at Wheelersburg Baptist Church? And I want to, it's always subjective, but here's my answer in a sentence. The sentence I want us to think about this morning is the sentence, it is well with our soul. It is well with our soul. I'm taking that language from the Apostle John in his third epistle. If you'll go there, that's where we'll be this morning. Third John, tiny little 15 verse, one chapter book at the end of our Bibles almost. And in verse 2, you find this statement. John is writing, the Spirit of God's directing him, to a friend of his by the name of Gaius. And he says in verse 2, "Beloved, I pray that all may go well with you and that you may be in good health." Here's the phrase, "as it goes well with your soul." That last phrase keeps coming to my mind when I think about Wheelersburg Baptist Church. It goes well with your soul. By God's grace. Now, when it comes to church life, think of the word seasons.
Churches go through seasons of pruning. We went through a season of pruning several years back and we lost a third of our membership. There are seasons of planting. There are seasons of watering. There are seasons where you deal with pestilence. And certainly there are seasons of waiting. It's like the farmer who drops the seed in the ground and then waits. And so church life has that vital season. You drop seed in the ground and you wait upon the gardener, the one who can create life, to do so. At times the Lord takes away. At other times the Lord gives. It's His church. He does as He pleases. There's all kinds of seasons. There are seasons of peace in the church when church is an enjoyable place to be. There are seasons of controversy, not as pleasant, but frankly just as vital. I say that because of Paul's comment in 1 Corinthians 11 when he says in verses 18 and 19 to the church at Corinth, I hear that when you come together as a church, there are divisions among you. And to some extent, I believe it, no doubt there have to be differences among you to show which of you has God's approval. That is odd, isn't it? There have to be differences? Why would that be? Why are differences necessary in churches? What good can come out of a season where we wrestle through our differences? Paul tells us, he says the differences are necessary in order to, his words, show who has God's approval. So we learn in seasons where we differ to look carefully into God's Word and find out what meets His approval and who meets His approval. And of course, there are also seasons of growth. When our Heavenly Father, the one Jesus calls the vine dresser in John 15:1, says it's time for the fruit to come, the fruit comes. Because all things are from Him and through Him and to Him. To Him be glory, Romans 11. So every January for the last 3 decades, we've taken a Sunday to address this question. What season are we in right now? What's the Lord doing at Wheelersburg Baptist Church? What are we anticipating as we enter 2022? I think, and I want to lay before you what I believe is the evidence to support this assertion, that by God's grace, we are presently able to say it is well with our soul. I believe this verse provides a helpful grid from which to address the state of the church in 2022 as we enter into it. I've been thinking and praying, actually, this verse, 3 John verse 2, for the last 2 years since COVID hit. It's what I've been praying for you. In this verse, there are two requests and one reality. The two requests, one, that you may enjoy good health. Two, that all may go well with you. And the reality is that it is all getting well with your soul. Your soul is getting along well. I believe there is Spirit-produced evidence to that. And I want to reflect on that together, all to the praise of the giver of that. I want us to look carefully at this letter and answer the vital question, what is true of a follower of Jesus of whom it can be said, it is well with your soul? Or to broaden it and think of a church, what is true of a church of whom it can be said, it is really well with their soul? John's third epistle gives us the answer. I want us to read this little letter, and then I want to reflect on the evidences that are contained in it as a grid through which then to look at Wheelersburg Baptist Church. So listen to the reading of God's Word. The elder to the beloved Gaius, whom I love in truth. Beloved, I pray that all may go well with you and that you may be in good health as it goes well with your soul. For I rejoiced greatly when the brothers came and testified to your truth, as indeed you're walking in the truth. I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are walking in the truth. Beloved, it is a faithful thing you do in all your efforts for these brothers, strangers as they are, who testified to your love before the church. You will do well to send them on their journey in a manner worthy of God, for they've gone out for the sake of the name, accepting nothing from the Gentiles. Therefore, we ought to support people like these, that we may be fellow workers for the truth. I have written something to the church, but Diotrephes, who likes to put himself first does not acknowledge our authority. So, if I come, I will bring up what he's doing, talking wicked nonsense against us. And not content with that, he refuses to welcome the brothers and also stops those who want to and puts them out of the church. Beloved, do not imitate evil, but imitate good. Whoever does good is from God. Whoever does evil has not seen God. Demetrius has received a good testimony from everyone and from the truth itself. We also add our testimony, and you know that our testimony is true. I had much to write to you, but I would rather not write with pen and ink. I hope to see you soon, and we will talk face to face. Peace to you. The friends greet you. Greet the friends, each by name. What a marvelous New Testament book. 15 verses, but it says so much to us about what life looked like in the early church. We see the importance of truth and love. We find instruction about missionary support, why it's necessary and who needs it. Why we even read about a political scandal amongst the church leadership. And we meet this self-absorbed man who thought he was in charge and tried to dominate things. And then another man who just faithfully served in that church. All this and more in one tiny little book. But we're after one answer to one question. And the answer is going to involve several facets. The question again is, what are the evidences in this letter that it was well with the soul of Gaius? What are the evidences that it's well with our soul as a church? As I've meditated on 3 John, I see 10 evidences. And let's just walk through these together. You can say it is well with your soul when the following is true. Number one, when you're loved by those who love Jesus. Verse 1. Notice the term beloved. You'll see it in verse 1. In verse 2, beloved. Verse 5, beloved. Verse 11, beloved. John is writing this. He refers to himself as the elder, not so much referring to his age, although he was an old man, but to his official position. The word indicates that he had a fatherly relation with this man, Gaius. Tradition, of course, style, simplistic vocabulary of the letter all points to this being John, the apostle. What do we know about him? He was a son of Zebedee, brother of James. These two guys, James and John, had a lucrative fishing business, and they left it all to become followers of the one who made them fishers of men. He became known as the disciple whom Jesus loved. After the Lord Jesus returned to heaven, John was a leader in the church there in Jerusalem. He later went to Ephesus around 65 to 70 A.D. He labors among the churches in that part of the world until he dies, probably around 100 A.D. He spends some time exiled on the island of Patmos. He writes the book of the Revelation. He's in Ephesus. He's ministering. He's sort of a regional pastor to the pastors, a shepherd of the churches in this area. And he writes this particular letter to someone that he apparently knows fairly well by the name of Gaius. Who was Gaius? There are several men called Gaius in the Bible. Gaius was actually a popular name in the first century. It's impossible to identify this precise Gaius other than he's the recipient of this really encouraging letter from John. Verse 4 seems to hint that Gaius owed his conversion to John. That's all subject to debate, but this isn't. John and Gaius had a really amazing relationship. John affirms his love for Gaius twice in the first verse alone, referring to him, King James, as the well-beloved and whom I love in the truth. Agape, a Greek word for love, is used by John all over the place in his writing. He tells us that God is love. He informs us that we are to love not in word only, but in deed and in truth, 1 John 3:18. And Gaius demonstrated that kind of love. And John testifies that he loves Gaius in the truth. All of that to say, here's just the point. You can say it is well with your soul when you're loved by those who love Jesus. I mean, John loved Jesus. And John loved Gaius because Gaius loved Jesus. And he showed it. They both loved the same person, and therefore they both loved each other. When that's true, when you know you're loved by those who love Jesus, you can say it as well with your soul when you're going through some really hard things. How it encourages one's soul to know that you are really loved by people who love Jesus whom you love. Secondly, you can say it as well with your soul when you're known for the truth. This is seen in verse 3 specifically when he says, "For I rejoiced greatly when the brothers came and testified to your truth." Notice that. It's an interesting phrase. To your truth, Gaius. Literally, to the truth of you. It's not that the truth originated with Gaius. It certainly didn't. It is that he made the truth very personal. The truth is his truth. The King James says, "The brethren came and testified to the truth that is in thee." The truth, of course, is the objective, historical message of Jesus Christ. His life, his death on the cross for sinners, his resurrection, his return to heaven. Gaius did not invent that message, but he did internalize it. He believed it and put all of his life into that reality. He made it his own. And it was his own to the point that you could see it. There was evidence that he believed in the truth. The NIV says, "The brothers testified to your faithfulness to the truth." The CSV testified to your fidelity to the truth. Truth, as love, was very important to John. He writes about it in his Gospel and his epistles. Truth was important to Gaius as well. People could see it. The brothers who visited Gaius testified when they returned to John, "That man loves the truth. He's faithful to the truth. He's a man of integrity. He makes sure nothing in his life distracts people from the truth." Now, this is basic but essential. If it is to be well with your soul, you must first believe the truth, specifically about Jesus Christ and his atoning sacrifice for you. And you must put your heart and soul into that truth. By God's grace, you must believe the truth and develop a reputation for the truth. When you become known for the truth, when that's the testimony people are giving about you, then you can say in all honesty, it is well with your soul. Related to this, thirdly, you can say it's well with your soul when you walk in the truth wherever you go. John uses the word truth a second time in verse 3. He says concerning Gaius, "I rejoiced greatly when the brothers came and testified to your truth, as indeed you're walking in the truth." Your truth, now the truth, and you're walking in it. So not only was Gaius known for truth that he personalized, he walked in this truth that he had personalized. To Gaius, truth was personal and then public. Others could see the truth that he loved because they watched his life and they saw it put, they saw the evidence of it. He put it on display. And all of this, of course, thrilled his spiritual mentor, John, as he declares in verse 4, "I have no greater joy than to hear that my children are doing that, walking in the truth." Now, I don't know why you would want to do this, but just for the sake of conversation, let's do this. Let's turn that around, and you'll discover a sure way to be miserable, in case you were wondering how to do that. Learn truth, but don't live it. Learn truth, but don't live it. Learn the truth specifically about Jesus, but don't live in light of that truth. Talk it, but don't walk it. Say you believe it, but don't show you believe it. Do that, and it will not be well with your soul. Guaranteed. Is this not why there are so many frustrated, joyless, professing Christians in our country? They could learn a valuable lesson from Gaius. You too could say it as well with your soul, but you need to learn to walk in the truth wherever you go. So you go to church on Sunday and you hear the truth proclaimed and you sing about it and you say amen to it. Great. Is that showing up when you do your business deals and as you're raising your kids and you're interacting with folks at school? You say, what does that really look like in living color to walk in the truth? Well, in the very next verse, he gives us a powerful example, a vivid example of something tangible that Gaius did. This is what walking in the truth looks like. You can say it is well with your soul when, number four, you love and help missionaries. When you love and help missionaries. Verse 5, beloved, it is a faithful thing you do in all your efforts for these brothers, strangers as they are. Apparently, the church where John was serving sent out some Christian workers. People to go take the message of Jesus places where it's not been heard. I use the term missionaries because that's what a missionary is. Those who are sent out from a church taking the message to unknown where the message is presently unknown. So John is serving somewhere. He's in a church and these people are sent out with the good news of Jesus. And on their journey, they spent some time in the church where Gaius was serving. They were strangers to Gaius. That's the term John uses here because they'd never met each other before. But John writes this letter to commend Gaius for all that he did to help them. What did he do? We can only guess. Perhaps he let them stay in his home. Maybe he shared his food with them or money. But whatever he did, it was so encouraging to these brothers. And when they got back to John in the sending church, they talked about it. They talked about this man they met and how he cared for them in practical ways. And it's one of the reasons John is now saying, Gaius, it is well with your soul. Now think about this, friends. It is so easy for us to have tunnel vision, to think that God blesses us so we can be comfortable in life, so we can enjoy these blessings. Not Gaius. Gaius saw the blessings from God as something to be used. He loved and helped missionaries, and John commends him for it. And he urges him to keep doing it. For when we help missionaries, he says we are fellow workers for the truth. I want to tell you, some of the most joyful people I have never, ever known in life are those who love and help missionaries. I watched it when I was first saved. I would watch when missionaries would come to town, and I'd watch who opened up their homes to keep missionaries in their homes and who had them over for meals. And these were people, you could see it, they were filled with joy. And then I've seen it in our church here. People who share their home, their food, their money, their time with strangers who quickly are no longer strangers to them, but dear brothers and sisters. And this is a powerful evidence that is well with their soul. As is this, number five, you're devoted to the name and to others who share the same devotion. We're just walking through this letter looking for evidences that it was well with the soul of Gaius. And here we come to number five. Why did Gaius love and help the missionaries? Oh, it was because he was a people person, right? If you're going to do that kind of stuff, it's because you're kind of the outgoing type. You love to be... No. He likely did love people, but that's not it. It's because of something much deeper in his heart. Specifically, that he loved the name. The name. Notice the middle of verse 7 again. They have gone out for the sake of the name. So these missionaries went out because of their commitment to the name. And Gaius, by implication, opens up his house, his home, his life, his pocketbook for the same reason, the sake of the name. What name? Of course, the name that is above every name. Oh, does your soul feel dry, my friend? If so, just take some inventory right here. Are you living your life for the sake of the name? You can know that all is well with your soul when you're devoted to not business ventures, not social causes, not sports, arts, though there's a place for such pursuits. But they can't bring lasting satisfaction to your soul. Only He can. So be devoted to the name and to others who share that same devotion. I see that as I look at this little letter and see the interaction here between John, Gaius, and these who went out with the message. This brings us to number six. You can say it is well with your soul when you're devoted to the church, and I want to use a term here we don't use very much, when you're a churchman. This is a good word. It's a fitting word for Gaius and for anyone else of whom it can be said it goes well with your soul. You're devoted to the local church. You are a churchman, a churchwoman. Gaius was devoted to Christ. It's not surprising then that he was devoted to what is precious to Christ, namely his bride, his church. We see the word church twice in this section of the letter. We see it in verse 6, where John says, "These brothers testified to your love before the church." And we see it in verse 9 when he says, "I have written something to the church." This point is so obvious we might miss it. When it comes to the Christian life, where is the action? The action, being on the front lines, happens in the church. I don't mean in the church building, although that's where the church spends a lot of time, in a place. But we see missionaries sharing testimonies of God's working. Where? Before the church. We see John writing a letter to help Christians mature. Where does he send it? He sends it to the church. Gaius was devoted to the church where he lived and served. He was likewise devoted to brothers and sisters from a sister church who've been sent out, who are on a mission. Where did he learn this devotion to the church? He learned it from John. Where did John learn? He learned it from Jesus himself, the Master, as will any of whom it is said, it is well with their soul. A seventh evidence. You can say it is well with your soul when you're not self-seeking. This one's a negative. When you're not self-seeking and refuse to protect your own turf in the church. You're not self-seeking and refuse to protect your own turf in the church. As we've seen, John commended Gaius and said it was well with his soul. Unfortunately, he couldn't say the same about another man in the same church by the name of Diotrephes. Right after I became a pastor back in 1987, when the Lord brought Sherry and me here with our little one-year-old Julie, I began to read a book that someone had mentioned called Well-Intentioned Dragons by Marshall Shelley. It's a storytelling book. And it tells stories of real situations in churches and what happened in churches. And I'm just learning how to be a pastor, so I'm looking for anything I can get that might help me. And the title was rather intriguing, Well-Intentioned Dragons. Here are the words I noticed as I began the first chapter. Dragons, of course, are fictional beasts, monstrous reptiles with lion's claws, a serpent's tail, bat wings, and scaly skin. They exist only in the imagination. But there are dragons of a different sort, decidedly real. In most cases, though not always, they do not intend to be sinister. In fact, they're usually quite friendly. But their charm belies their power to destroy. Within the church, they are often sincere, well-meaning saints, but they leave ulcers, strained relationships, and hard feelings in their wake. They don't consider themselves to be difficult people. They don't sit up nights thinking of ways to be nasty. Often they're pillars of the community, talented, strong personalities, deservingly respected. But for some reason, they undermine the ministry of the church. They're not naturally rebellious or pathological. They are loyal church members, convinced they're serving God. But they wind up doing more harm than good. Sightings of these dragons are all too common. As one veteran pastor says, anyone who's been in the ministry more than an hour and a half knows the wrath of a dragon. Or as Harry Ironside described it, wherever there's light, there's bugs. I remember reading that thinking, is that what church is like? Is that what it's going to be like? Diotrephes was a dragon. And John describes him this way in verse 9. I've written something to the church, but Diotrephes, who likes to put himself first, does not acknowledge our authority. The King James uses the language, who loves to have the preeminence. NIV, who loves to be first. Apparently, the arrival of these missionaries brought out the true colors of the dragon. Support them? Are you kidding me? Why in the world should we take our money and help those traveling strangers? What will we get out of it? We have our own ministries to think about right here. And so he dug in his heels and guarded his turf, as though the church was his turf to guard. While so much more could be said about Diotrephes, here is something we don't hear John saying about him. Absolutely not. It is well with your soul. For it wasn't. Brothers and sisters, you can say it is well with your soul when you're not self-seeking, when you refuse to protect your own turf in the church because you joyfully acknowledge that the church is his, not yours. And just to jump ahead in a moment, I want to talk in a moment about the fact that that's not happening in this church. We don't have diatrophies. We don't have people that are digging in their heels. This brings us to the eighth evidence of this. It's well with your soul related to number seven, when you deal with problem people in a Christ-honoring way. It is well with your soul when you deal with problem people in a Christ-honoring way, like John did, verse 10. So if I come, I'll bring up what he, Diotrephes, is doing, talking wicked nonsense against us. And not content with that, he refuses to welcome the brothers and also stops those who want to and puts them out of the church. So apparently, just trying to pull the pieces together, John apparently had written a letter to this church urging them to do what Gaius had been doing. Help those missionaries, help those Christian workers. But Diotrephes intercepted the letter and he resisted John's counsel and said, in essence, old man, what right do you have to tell us what to do? I'm the leader of this church. We don't need you interfering with what's going on here. How did John respond to this turf war battle? He responded by writing another letter, this one directly to Gaius. You have it in your lap. Why Gaius? Because he knew this man's soul. And he wanted Gaius to know precisely what needed to happen with Diotrephes. Now, Gaius, this is not in your letter, but there must have been this type of thinking going on in John's mind. And John wants Gaius to begin to think this way. Gaius, we can't let Diotrephes continue to control the church. When I come, I'll let the church know exactly what he's doing. I'll tell them how he's resisted our efforts to help and how he's resisted the missionaries and how he's been kicking people out of the church without grounds. And this is what we're going to do, Gaius, when I get there, if God allows me to. We're going to protect the church, and we're going to do it just like Jesus said that we're supposed to do this. And if Diotrephes repents and changes, we'll rejoice. And if he doesn't, we will put him out of the church. You say, that doesn't sound very loving. Actually, it's just the opposite. And John knew it, and he knew Gaius would agree. Because to ignore a dragon in a church like Diotrephes is frankly unloving. It's unloving for Diotrephes, and it is certainly unloving for the church. Because if it is to be said, it is well with your soul, you, as a church, must learn to deal with problem people, but always do it in a Christ-honoring way, for their good, for the church's good, and ultimately for His glory. Friends, there will always be problems and problem people in churches. That's a given because all churches have to work with are sinners. At some stage of becoming like Christ, once they've come to know Jesus, but only sinners. And it's easy to ignore problems when they happen in churches. It's easy to run from problems when they happen in churches. But John knew that Gaius would do neither, which is why he could say with confidence, it is well with your soul. You show me a person that is Christ-like in dealing with problems. They don't run from problems. They don't stir up more problems, but they deal with them in a constructive, Christ-like way. And I'll show you a person of whom it can be said it's well with their soul. This brings us to a ninth evidence. It is well with your soul when you value relationships with your brothers and sisters. I see this in verses 13 and 14, and I love the practicality of how John finishes his letter. He says, I had much to write to you, but I would rather not write with pen and ink. I hope to see you, notice this person, I hope to see you soon and we will talk face to face. John's got a lot on his heart and he'd like to talk more with Gaius about what? Don't you wonder? Oh, well, I wonder. Ministry? Personal things? Does he want to, doctrines? Does he want to teach him some things? He doesn't say. But he just says, I just can't wait to see you, Gaius, face to face. If John was writing today, he'd say, I'd rather not text this. I'd rather not email this. I want some FaceTime with you. right together. This too is a wonderful evidence that all is well with your soul when you have people who want to spend face time with you, as John did with Gaius. Now, when you stop and think about it, that's not a given. There are people with whom it is very difficult to talk face to face. Like whom? Like people who aren't good listeners. Like people who just love to hear themselves talk. Like people who seem to know it all. Like people who are abrasive. Concerning such people, you don't say, "I can't wait to see you and spend some time face to face with you." I mean, just think about the implication of this statement. John could say, "I am so looking forward to spending time with you face to face," because he knew this man, and he knew this man was teachable, and this man was a good listener, and this man was open to receiving input from outside of himself. And I suggest to you, this is a powerful evidence of God's grace. And when it's there, it can be said in all honesty that it is well with your soul. One more, number 10, you can say it's well with your soul when you greet your brothers and sisters by name. Isn't this interesting? Don't miss the final words in verse 15. Peace to you, the friends greet you, greet the friends, each by name. Huh. Interesting word choice, by the way, friends. Not brothers, as we might expect, but hoi polloi. This is the only letter in the New Testament where we see this word referring to Christians. Christians are called friends, and it reflects the powerful reality that Jesus talked about back in John 15:13. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. You've been doing that, Gaius. You've been laying down your life for your friends. You've been risking your relationship with the Diotrephes to support these missionaries. You've been laying down your life for friends, and includes even these new friends you've just made, these Christian workers. Now keep doing that. Keep greeting your friends. And how? Each by name. RSV interprets this as meaning every one of them, New English Bible, one by one. I like John Stott's reminder, the good shepherd calls his own sheep by name, John 10:3. Under shepherds and sheep should know each other by name also. It's easy to come to church, okay, let me meddle. It's easy to come to church and greet by name six or eight people that you know and like, and they're your friends and you have a relationship with, and you should do that. But if all you do is that, you have violated this verse right here. It's another thing to purposefully greet everyone by name. So how in the world am I going to do that? I can't even remember their name. Ask. I asked them last week. I don't know what you're going to do with this verse then. Greet each of them by name. This takes effort. This takes intentionality. And it is a powerful indicator that it is well with your soul when you do this. When you're going up to people and saying, "I don't believe I remember your name, but it's important enough for me to know it that I'm asking it for the fifth time. Who are you again?" And write it down and get in your prayer closet and pray for that person by name. So I suggest to you, this is why it could be said in John's assessment of Gaius, it is well with your soul. And this is why, in my assessment, why the same can be said of you, dear friends. It is well with your soul when, one, you're loved by those who love Jesus. Two, you're known for the truth. Three, you walk in the truth wherever you go. Four, you love and help missionaries. Five, you're devoted to the name and to others who share that same devotion. Six, you're devoted to the church. You're a churchman. Seven, you're not self-seeking and refuse to protect your own turf in the church. Eight, you deal with problem people in a Christ-honoring way. Nine, you value relationships with your brothers and sisters. And 10, you greet your brothers and sisters by name. All right. So let's take a look now in the rearview mirror at 2021. And I want to talk about some of the evidence that I see in light of this that brings me to the conclusion that it is well with your soul, Wheelersburg Baptist Church. the theme verse. Dear friends, I pray that you may enjoy good health and that all may go well with you, even as your soul is getting along well. We could start right here with how God has protected us during this pandemic. Many churches have lost a lot of people and income due to COVID, but He's, for the most part, spared us of loss and has certainly given us abundance. We've actually seen growth numerically and financially. Our current membership is 157. Our last two new members classes have been the largest in three decades. We've had close to 30 people join since COVID. In terms of the numbers, our weekly Sunday morning attendance average for 2021 was 99. 2020, it was 94. Before COVID, the attendance was 101. But this, of course, is so misleading because what happens, the church isn't reflected by what's happening in this room during the COVID season. Because even right now, there are who knows how many of our brothers and sisters that are gathered around a phone or a television. And what church looks like has changed. So when you take those are 25, 30 of those that have joined, when you take another 20 or so that are regularly attending, we have like 40 new people that weren't here 2 years ago in the life of this church. When it comes to that all may go well with you, we get to talk about, I was going to say we have to, we get to talk about our finances. It's a joy to talk about. These numbers will testify to the faithfulness of our God. Because of the coronavirus, we stopped passing the offering plate 2 years ago in 2020. And what happened? The answer in 2020 was $255,396. The answer in 2021 is $280,986. General fund income. The income in 2020 was higher by far than any year ever in the history of the church. The income this year was $30,000, give or take, more than last year's income. Last year's general fund income, the exact numbers, $25,000, 2021 over 2020. And this all continued during a pandemic, as did this. We were able to pay all of our bills on time, including fulfilling all of our missionary commitments each month. That's not insignificant. When the coronavirus hit 2 years ago, we had discussions at the leadership level about potential cutbacks to make sure we could meet all obligations. But week after week, the Lord didn't just provide. He exceedingly abundantly provided. And this overabundance enabled us to make some important facility improvements thanks to the trustees for their work in leading the way in these projects. We were able to utilize over $70,000 for non-budgeted expenditures. New carpet on the main floor of this building, $55,000. Carpet for the youth room downstairs, close to $4,000. New AV and live stream equipment in the auditorium, over $17,000. These numbers bring us back to this bottom line reality that I say your soul is getting along well. I can't see your soul, but I sure do see the evidence of it, that all is going well. Let me explain more fully. Here are some of the evidences that stand out to me when I look at you, dear church family, dear friends, to use John's word. Just to walk through these traits that we saw in Gaius's life. One, you love Jesus and are loved by those who love Jesus. Consider just the new technology for a moment. Why did we spend a lot of money on new sound and video equipment? It's because we love Jesus and we want to do all we can to help other people know and love Jesus. This new equipment enables us to communicate in a very excellent way with people that most of us, will never see personally. Let me show you. Here's a real example of this. So last year we offered year 22 in our counseling discipleship training. Winter months, Monday evenings. We went on the road to raise gospel in Huntington in September. Here's a testimony from a pastor an hour and a half away from here who participated this past year. And he writes this, CDT has been a great learning experience. Seminary simply did not prepare me for practical biblical counseling. Yet CDT offers a comprehensive launching pad into this critical area of knowledge to meet needs of every church, a Christian leader, that every Christian leader encounters with respect to counseling. CDT helped me to see that Christian counseling is more than a Christian that counsels. It pointed out several key paradigms of counseling which absolutely contradict the biblical mandate. It also helped by distinguishing the very real medical issues of which a biblical counselor should be aware. This course has been hugely helpful to me personally, and I trust God will allow it to help those that I serve in the future. The reading alone is worth committing to the course, but I dare say any person who gives themselves to this educational experience will come away enriched for it. Why do we do this? It's because of that. Sherry and I were at a restaurant Friday evening. As we're sitting there talking, the table right next to us is a man and a woman. We found out later, husband and wife. They're talking about Israel. So Sherry says, comments about that. So, well, we're a pastor and pastor's wife of a church. I won't mention which church. And I said to them, when I heard the name of the church, I said, do you know, and I mentioned a couple of names of people who had been through our biblical counseling training a few years ago. And they said, yes, are you that church? They came back so transformed. That couple has been used to save the marriages of several people in our church. Praise God. 2 and 3, you're known for the truth and you walk in it wherever you go. I see a vibrant, growing love for the truth at WBC. You want to hear it and apply it and you want to share it with others. This past year, we memorized God's Word together. Each month, we worked on a different passage so we'd be better equipped to preach the gospel to our own souls and then share it with those around us. We studied God's truth together in a lot of ways. I'm so thankful for a faithful team of Sunday school teachers, youth workers, kids club workers, others who opened the scriptures weekly. Preachers in training took us through the book of Galatians on Sunday evenings. And oh, what a joy for me to be able to open God's Word with you primarily on Sunday mornings. We resumed and finished eventually our series on Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. We didn't just hear that, we then spent time in our community groups wrestling with what are the implications of that truth for our lives. Later we had a series in Judges that I entitled Gideon, Ordinary Man, Extraordinary God. Then came a series in Ephesians 6, The Christian and the Armor of God. We had a series in 1 Timothy 2, What Matters Most in the Church, focusing on prayer. In November we returned to the book of Acts as we entered the final leg of this important book. In December we finished the year with He's Coming. Isaiah helps us prepare for Christmas. Wednesday evenings, we engaged in an interesting study, a doctrinal study called Union with Christ, those beloved prepositions. In December, Pastor Matt led us in a series on Advent to prepare for the Christ's first coming. The fourth, you love and help missionaries. Oh, we could talk about this a long time. I mentioned the general fund income in 2021 being $281,000. Of that number, $44,000, give or take, goes to support our team of missionaries, including those that we've sent out from our church to places beyond us, Bob Literal, Aaron Warrow, Gary Nancy Storm, and Jade Burley, as well as other missionaries that we're partnering with other churches who sent them out, as well as other ministries that share our commitment to the Great Commission, like Scioto Hills Camp, Cradle, Tri-State Bible College, ACBC, and others. This means 1/5 of everything that we gave into the general fund has gone to help us minister elsewhere. And that's not the whole story. On top of that general fund income, there was nearly $37,000 in special designated gifts, like the harvest offering, $3,075, which went to help the Baptist Children's Home that has this significant ministry going on in Myanmar right now, where there's such civil war issues to deal with, and many other special gifts that have been given to help missionaries, designated gifts. It's not uncommon beyond the gifts just for our members to be out ministering God's Word in other places, filling the pulpits, making camp and Bible college presentations, representing Cradle and more in places beyond these four walls. And we miss you when you're gone, ministering elsewhere. But we rejoice at the privilege of helping other ministries. In November, I was privileged to go as your representative and assist missionary Tom Carr in teaching church leaders in Nepal with Tri-M. We love our missionaries at WBC. We were able to send a special gift of $1,100 to provide 1 month's rent for the mission house utilized by the Kincaids in Rome, Italy, in their ministry with refugees during the lean summer months. In August, we sent a gift of $2,000 to Paul and Kathy Holritz when we learned that their students in North Africa and in the Middle East, particularly North Africa, were having trouble with reliable internet service and needed some technology. So a couple $1,000 gift to help with students learning. In December, you authorized a special Christmas gift of $100 just to say thank you and we love you to our retired missionaries. 5 and 6, you're devoted to the name and to others who share that same devotion. This fall, past fall, was when you voted to approve a pastoral internship opportunity for Michael Dow. As we did last year when COVID hit, we did something special once again on Wednesday evenings through the summer months and into the fall when we utilized Zoom to interact with our missionaries, one different one each week, and ministry leaders to find out what's God doing, what are your needs, how can we pray for you? Back in the winter, we learned for the second year in a row that due to COVID, there would be no regular camp at Scioto Hills. We love youth camp. So many lives have been transformed over the years at youth camp. No youth camp. How can this be a second year in a row? What can be done about this? So in May, we allocated approximately $9,500 to do our own week of youth camp. These funds made it possible for 26 campers and 6 to 8 counselors from WBC to have a week of camp at Scioto Hills. From my perspective, this, and this is just some of it, is evidence that you're devoted to the name and to those who share that devotion. And for that, we say, to God be the glory. 7, you're not self-seeking and refuse to protect your own turf. I am so grateful, and I want to say this publicly, I'm so grateful for the wonderful spirit of humility in this church. And I see it at the leadership level with our current combined board of 6 deacons and 5 trustees and then 2 pastors. It is a blessing for us to meet every Sunday, second Sunday afternoon of each month, close the door and speak the truth in love about issues that we need to wrestle with. And we do that. We speak the truth in love. And we saw this spirit-produced refusal to protect our own turf, particularly this past year when the former hardware property went on the market. Since we've used that parking lot for years, it seemed wise to explore the possibility of purchasing this property. And to say that there were many opinions about that venture would be an understatement. But by God's grace, it brought me such great joy to see how the Lord enabled us to put our opinions aside and seek His mind together. And we eventually, as you may recall, made an offer to purchase the property. But in God's providence, another party ended up buying the building, and thankfully our new neighbors have granted us permission to continue to use the parking lot on Sundays, and we've already approved funds to express our appreciation by resurfacing their lot when the weather permits. Most of us have heard plenty of stories about churches splitting over carpet choices. So let's talk about that for a moment. I am so thankful that I can stand before you and say that was not our story in 2021. Again, by God's grace. And in addition to the carpet project, we were privileged to organize a decorating committee in 2021. Thanks, Pastor Matt, for overseeing that venture. And allocate an initial $2,500 for this committee to utilize in helping our facility to reflect the excellence of our Savior. And our facility not only looks wonderful now, but it's ready to be used for the gospel ministry that we're all about here. We use this facility. We pour it out so that people might come to know and love Jesus. Another provision of God, with the help of a donation from her family, the library was remodeled and is now the Catherine June Conley Hospitality and Learning Room. Our people don't seek honor for themselves by God's grace. They seek honor to Christ, but it's our joy to acknowledge that type of spirit when we see it. 8, you deal with problems and even problem people in a Christ-honoring way. There's no need to share specifics regarding this point other than to say, praise God, it's happening. And I mean, it is happening. Did we have some problems? Did we have any misunderstandings, any hurt feelings in 2021? Yeah, we sure did. Because we're sinners doing life as sinners. But thanks be to God for His indwelling Spirit who's helping us deal with our problems in a Christ-honoring way. There will always be the tendency for the spirit of Diotrephes to raise up. That will always be the case. But thanks be to God when you see a John, when you see a Gaius. And praise God, these Christ-honoring problem solvers can be seen in abundance in this church. Men and women who, when you learn about problems, you're taking people out to lunch and sitting down and say, let's talk about that. Let's work through that. 9 and 10, you value relationships with your brothers and sisters. You're learning to greet each other by name. Speaking of names, this would be an appropriate place to mention the names of 3 long-standing members of Wheelersburg Baptist who finished their journey in 2021. The Lord called home to heaven Dick Bays and June Conley, who were both in this church since the 1930s, and Jean Cohort, who was a member for many decades and passed away herself in her 90s. Relationships really matter to us, don't they? I love to watch what happens in this room when worship services end. So many of you refuse to go home. I look around and I see people talking with each other, encouraging each other, sometimes down on your knees praying together. Community groups are another vivid demonstration that you value each other. Even in COVID times, we see about, and this is so hard to quantify this, but my guess, over half of our people carving out time to participate in these regular interactions around the Word of God and in fellowship with one another. In the fall, some of you launched a weekly seniors ministry in the community center. I hear of our teens gathering on an informal basis, yet regularly, in homes of our youth leaders. Powerful evidence is that you value relationships with your brothers and sisters. And so, when I see this evidence and put it all together, this is my conclusion. It is well with our soul at WBC to the glory of the one who makes it so. But this raises the question, to what end? That is, it's well with our soul. To what end? Why has God blessed us? In truth, to be able to say it is well with our soul is a stewardship issue. Seasons. We are in a season right now where this is a fun place to be. It has not always been so, and that was fine. God takes us through all kinds of things to get us to places where we need to be. Why? This is a gift from God. He's blessed us so that we can now share this blessing. The opportunities continue in 2022. Last year's State of the Church address, I concluded with 2 challenges. The first, let's make it our top priority to get to know Christ better in 2021. The second, let's make it a priority to help others know Christ better in 2021. I just want to reissue the same 2 challenges in 2022. And here are some of the ways we intend to be of help to you. On Sunday mornings, we plan to return to our Acts series and finish the last segment, Acts 21 through 28. As we work through this passage, we're going to see how the church continued to advance its mission in spite of great opposition from the world. You talk about a relevant section of God's Word to be in. We're going to be in that. On Wednesday evenings, we're in the book of Ecclesiastes right now. You don't want to miss this instruction about how in the world do you have joy when things are happening all around you? And where do you find that joy? And of course, our Sunday school classes, our children's and youth ministry, summer camp, retreats at Scioto Hills, many other ministries continue. 2 groups for training future leaders, special prayer time called Pastor's Prayer Partner meeting every Sunday morning at 8:30 over here. Lord willing, there will be another missions trip to Nepal in November and more. Still plenty of people all around us in this community who need Jesus. Plenty of people who profess faith in Jesus who need to become a part of a local church that exalts Christ, that's Word-centered and discipleship emphasizing. If you're looking for a church, our next new members class will begin in the first week of February. See me today if you're thinking about that. The nations are still there, brothers and sisters. Let's keep loving our missionaries and praying that the Lord of Harvest will send more out of this church to take the gospel to the nations. This is not a perfect church. There is no such thing. The church where Gaius lived and served had problems. It had problem people, like a leader who wanted to control things. But it had godly people in it who pleased the Lord. And the Lord worked through that imperfect church. And He's working through this imperfect church. May He be pleased to continue to make Himself known to us and through us in 2022. And may we, by His grace, be able to say, this time next year, should He tarry, it continues to be well with our soul at WBC. Father, we stand in awe of You, and we are so thankful to look at this letter and to be able to say, it seems to be here too, all to Your glory. Thank You. Everything is from You and to You. To You be the glory, in Jesus' name. Amen. We have to sing this song, don't we? It is well with my soul. I mean, how could we finish without? Let's stand together and sing the four verses. Service by altering that line and inserting the plural our instead of my. It is well with our soul. Let's say those words together. It is well with our soul. Go in peace.